Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to John in chapter 4, if you're not already there. John in chapter 4. I don't know what the title is. I've worked on it during the week and kind of went in different directions each time. I think I'd probably just put a title on it, Gospel Dynamite. We read in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not ashamed of the gospel. Here it is early in Jesus' ministry. And early in his ministry. And already people are flocking to him. People are starting to find out the Messiah has come. People from all walks of life. And we're going to read about a Samaritan woman here this morning. I'm going to try to make some analogy and some application to your life and to my life. And we need to understand the reason we are here. Now, I know we are to have a teaching ministry and we're to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. But there's so much. You are not in this world today just to be comfortable. You are not in this world today. The purpose of the Bible is not to satisfy our academic curiosity. We're to be built up in the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're to be built up in the faith that we might go forth and propagate the gospel, that we might advance the gospel. My heart was warmed this morning in our adult Sunday school class. We got this Whosoever Will Club started right now. 80-some tracts were handed out in the last week by adults here in the auditorium that were present at the 10 o'clock hour. In the last how many people raised their hand and said they won people to the Lord this last week? Raise your hand again. I just want a number. I just want to count it up. 1, 2, 3, 4. This, just in this last week, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 people, 13. And many of them, some of them led multiple people to the Lord. Hey, unless you think you're just here for the ride, the purpose is you get on board and you start being a soul winner. You start spreading the gospel. Jesus was all about the gospel. I just saw Caden walk in. We hand out whosoever pins, whosoever will. I'm a whosoever pin to those that win people to Christ. It's just to encourage. It's a witnessing tool. Some of the best dressed people in the Upper Peninsula are wearing I'm a whosoever pin on their lapel. I wore it this week. I went out with it on one day this week, and lo and behold, someone asked, what do you mean you're a whosoever? Man, it works. Caden, how old are you, Caden? Led a soul to Christ this week. Come on up and get your pin. He wasn't in the adult Sunday school class. He was playing hooky down in his own little class down there. But you wear this and you use it as a tool to win others to Christ. 9 years old. If a 9-year old can win people to Christ, and here you are, you know the gospel, and your mouth has been silent, and you've not been telling people about Jesus. And I'll go further than that. We talked about it in Sunday school, drawing the net. And it might be you're that kind of person where you try to live right and you try to testify and you hand out gospel tracts, but you don't lead people to Christ. That's because you're not drawing the net. And I want to encourage you not to be a coward. I want to encourage you to get some holy boldness and start bringing people, bringing sinners to Christ. It works. Look at John chapter 4. We got to go fast. And when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. First time John referred to Jesus as Lord here is chapter 4 and verse 1. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He was in Judea, that's to the south, that's the mountainous region. To the far north of Israel, that's the region of Galilee. These were the unsophisticated Jews that were up there, kind of like the Uper Jews were up in the far north. In between Judea and Galilee was a land called Samaria, was where the Samaritans lived. These were half-breeds. These were people that were half Jewish and half Assyrian and all kinds of mixtures in there. There was racial prejudice against the Samaritans. There was political prejudice. There was religious prejudice against the Samaritans. They were referred to as apostates. Read on, verse 3 says, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. The Jews, when they traveled in that day, avoided Samaria. They went around Samaria so they wouldn't have to fellowship with the Samaritans. And they go out of their way, go around Samaria to get to the land of Galilee. And in order to do that, Jesus took the most direct route because Jesus loves sinners. He was concerned about the Samaritans. How do you know that, preacher? Because we're going to read about it here in just a moment. It says in verse 5, then cometh he into a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now that would be about 6 o'clock Roman time. End of the day, we know that from what's going to transpire here in just a moment. So it was in the evening of the day, the journey was done. Jesus, he has flesh, he's tired, he's weary, he's thirsty. The disciples go into town to try to get something to eat for supper. Jesus is there alone, and a woman of Samaria comes to the well. Jesus, I gotta say this. We cannot, don't ever get to the place where you think you're better than other people. And you avoid sinners. Because here's what you need to know. You're a sinner too. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Do not avoid those that are unloving. They need the gospel as well. People are hungry for the truth in every direction. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me drink. I'll give you a little background here. This is not a flowing well. This is a cistern. Two different words for well used in this passage of Scripture. So this is water that could get stagnant and about 100 feet deep. And they'd have a leather bucket with a long rope. And it was a chore to get water out of that well. And you got to have water. You can't live without water. It's essential for life. Or as Brother Bill would say, water's essential. You got to have water in order to make coffee. You got to have it, right? And there's a picture here. Jesus is going to take this. He says to the woman, please give me to drink. And for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She recognized he was not a Samaritan, perhaps by his accent. It's like the lady down in Detroit a couple weeks ago that said, after I was done preaching, I just love to hear Youper talk. Whatever region of the country you're from, there's a little bit of an accent. Or maybe it was the clothing that he was wearing. The Jews in that day, they had a blue border on the bottom of their garment. But for whatever reason, she knew that he was not a Samaritan and said, you're asking me for a drink? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. A couple of things here. Gift. The word gift is used to describe the gospel, used to describe eternal life 8 times in the New Testament. Heaven is not a reward. Heaven is not a prize to gain. Heaven is all of grace. Heaven is a gift. Jesus paid my way to heaven. It's a gift of eternal life. And Jesus here says, he says it again. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you would ask of me, I would give to you living water, flowing water, not water from a cistern, but water from like a flowing artesian well, flowing water that's ever flowing and satisfying and cold and it's alive. He said, if you'd ask of me, if you knew who was in your presence, you would ask me for living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, perhaps sarcastically. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? For some it may seem impossible to reach God, but the living water has made a way. He has provided eternal life. She said, hey, you don't even have a way to draw the water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? By the way, the answer to that is yes. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Understand this, the gospel, the living water, it satisfies. It quenches my spiritual thirst. It's like no water this world has. It might be that somehow, some way, you've been coming to church here for a while and you have never drunk of that living water. You have never asked Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior. All you have is a religion. Hear me, you're going to go to hell with that religion. Doesn't matter what label you wear or you claim. You need the living water. You need Jesus Christ. And that water satisfies. He says something else here in verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It satisfies. It fulfills. And it secures. It is everlasting. It is forever. It is a one-time salvation. I got saved in fifth grade. I never had to get saved again. I got born again in fifth grade. I never had to be born again and again and again. Never again. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is an eternal life that satisfies. It is an eternal life that secures. Jesus said, all that cometh to me, the Father giveth to me. John 6:37, same gospel. And all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Never will I forsake you. Never will I turn you away. Turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. Chapter 10, verse 27. Listen to Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Man, I've preached this verse before. He didn't say I give to them temporary life. He said I give unto them forever life, eternal life. And they shall never perish, not could someday, never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, the word man is in italics there in your King James Bible. That means the translators of the Textus Receptus said, it's inferred there, but you may not understand it, so we're going to put in the word man. It's not the wrong word, but it's not a complete word. Jesus said, nothing shall take you out of my Father's hand. Nothing. Not a philosophy. Not even your own sin after you get born again. Go back to John chapter 4. I got to get to the real good part here in John in chapter 4. And I want you to know the gospel's for everybody. The gospel satisfies. The gospel secures. It's an everlasting gospel. Always. Unfortunately, let's get into the gospel here just a little bit. Many in America have a general allegiance to God, but they don't know him. They understand there's a God in heaven and they're not against him, they think. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. That's where the liberal denominations are, by the way. And if you're to go through their church membership or preach to them one time or talk to them, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I don't know if anybody can know that. Man, I believe in the Ten Commandments, and I believe in Jehovah God, Father God. I believe that, and I know Jesus came to this world, and he's God's son, and he died on a cross one day. But you know, that's just a general allegiance. It's more than just, it involves the heart. Let's get to it here. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Said, I want this salvation. This woman at the well. She said, I want this living water that I will never thirst again. It's starting to transition now into spiritual things, and she understands that, although she's having a hard time, and we're going to get into it here. It says in verse 16, you know, you come to Jesus just the way you are, but there's got to be repentance. You can't flippantly say, oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Jesus, I take you. And never take your hand off of the world. Never take your heart out of the world. You can't, a prayer is not going to get you to heaven. Let me explain that. You say, wow, that's what I did. I prayed and I received Christ. Well, maybe you did. Here's what you need to know. That prayer did not save you. Jesus saves you. You can't just repeat a prayer and not mean it. No repentance, no sorrow for sin. It's not like you got to beat your chest and weep and wail. Here's what repentance is. It's turning from your sin and turning to God. And the truth is, it's more turning to God than turning from your sin. But they're both there because you can't save yourself. And so you're sorry over your sin. You know you need a Savior. It isn't just I'm going to be religious for a moment and, you know, like lighting a candle or something. That's not what it is. Jesus said to this woman, she says, I want this salvation. I want this living water. Jesus confronts her sin, says, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, and I know she's ashamed, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. So here's a woman, a Samaritan, a half-breed. She's immoral. She's an adulterer. Has no social standing. And Jesus loves her soul. She said, I want this water. She said, go and call thy husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. He said, that's right. You've had five husbands. And you don't have a husband today. Verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. I'll paraphrase this. Samaritans, Jews, what she was saying is, I have my religion and you have yours. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Jesus said, there's something bigger than this mountain. It's God. It's salvation. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Just a general allegiance to God is what she had. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a real problem today. A lot of people are worshiping him in spirit, but there's no truth. Doctrine has nothing to do with it. They're worshiping a Jesus that they eventually fabricate in their own mind, and they live in their life, they live their lifestyle of sin, and then go to church and call that worship, and that's not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And God is both. Here's what Jesus is saying. You've got to have the truth. The truth is never going to change. And you worship him in spirit. I could summarize it by saying this. God wants our heart. Not just a general allegiance. And the woman saith unto him, here it is. I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Look at verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Probably had to pick her up off the ground. I don't know. I am that I am. I am the Messiah. Sister, you are standing in the presence of God. Verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Sinful hearts. Yet no man said, why seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? The woman, I want to come to verse 28. There's several verses. I'm not quite done yet, but I'm going to wrap this up real quickly. Repentance is part of the gospel. Repentance is not the gospel. Repentance is not salvation. Repentance is our part. God has done all the work in the person of God the Son, his only begotten Son. He hung on the cross and he did all the work. The blood was shed that washes away all our sin. He rose again on the third day. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Jesus Christ did all the work. Our part is our heart. We're to repent. We're to call upon God knowing we're a sinner. And receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You get that kind of salvation, and your water pot won't matter anymore. See, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Look at that verse I'm going to read right now, verse 28. The woman, she came to the well to get water. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She left her water pot. The water pot wasn't going to save her anyway. The water, I don't know what your water pot is in life, but maybe you ought to just leave it alone. Maybe you need to put Jesus Christ first in your life again. Maybe he ought to be number one. You really get saved, you're not going to care about your water pot. It's going to be unimportant. The devil has all kinds of shiny objects in your life and mine, and he distracts us. He says, go over here. Go over here. Don't worry about those souls. I know it's prayer meeting. It's Wednesday. Go over here. Over here. This is real important. You're going to like this. You got to partake of this fruit. It's going to taste good. It's going to make you wise. You'll get popular over there. You'll get rich over there. You'll be comfortable over there. It's a shiny object, getting us away from the truth. You get saved, your water pot won't matter. She left it. She ran back into the city. I found him, the Messiah. I heard him speak. Now, we're not going to have time to read the whole chapter. They're going to come, they're going to say, and they're going to believe on Christ too. And they're going to tell him, we know, we believe, we've heard him. Not because you told us, I'm glad you told us, but we heard him ourselves. Let's read real fast here. We'll skip the disciples. The disciple, it says in verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he says, I've already eaten meat. Hey, who fed him? There's meat here that we don't know what. Jesus said, oh, I've got a work to do, and it's a whole lot better than filling my belly. And it's a whole lot more satisfying. It's a whole lot more fulfilling. And it's forever. A woman just got saved. Verse 34 says, and Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then he says in verse 35, they're 4 months from the harvest. I got to wrap this up. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Don't say we got lots of time. Now is harvest time. People are going to die in the next 4 months. We got to get the gospel out to them right now. I'm sure they could look around and they could see that the fields were white, all ready to harvest. It had to be a beautiful picture. And Jesus, and I believe this, and I've heard this preached, and I've read Bible commentaries, and I see it inferred here, and I think what Jesus was doing was, he said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And there at the end of day, with the sun setting, the Samaritans coming out of the city and having their light-colored clothing on and the sun reflecting on them, and he was pointing at people that were coming out of the city. He said, look, the fields are white unto harvest. Now is harvest time. Now is not the time to eat. Now is the time to reap the harvest. You may have some loved ones, some coworkers, some friends that you're concerned about. You're thinking, man, I hope they get saved someday. Don't say there's 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Go after them now. Get yourself a burden. Now is the time to reach them. How about Judd getting saved? Name's Judd, right? Your dad. How about Judd getting saved? In the hospital room. What if he died without Christ? And he's recovering miraculously now. I'll tell you exactly what I did. I walked in the hospital room. It was ICU. His wife was sitting there. I didn't know how long he'd stay awake, so I got right to it. I told him the gospel. I told him that Jesus loved him, and he could know for sure he's on his way to heaven. You don't know if you're going to make it out of that bed. And I said, Jeb, would you like to right now receive Christ as your Savior? I'll help you. He said, yes, I would. So I took him by the hand, and he squeezed my hand. And I prayed the sinner's prayer, and he prayed the sinner's prayer after me. We said amen. I said, Judd, did you receive Christ today? He said, yes, I did. I know. Man, he's on his way to heaven. He's at the end of his life. Brother Al Knutson, at the end of his life. You got friends that are at the end of their lives. You got little boys and little girls and acquaintances, and some of them are at the end of their lives. We don't know when you're going to die. You go to the cemetery, you can measure all kinds of sizes for the graves. People die when they're young. We need Christ. They need to be born again. This world is in desperate need. The gospel is for everybody. The gospel satisfies. The gospel secures. Repentance is our part of the gospel, the part that has not been yet done if you're not born again. You get saved, your water pot won't matter anymore. Verses 31 through 35, great harvest. Don't go to heaven alone. Bobby Robertson died this last week. He's kind of like Moses, pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church. He was in his 80s. Loved the Lord, great soul winner, church of 5,000. Doing everything right, full orchestra, good conservative music, a lot of down-home music, altar call, people walk the aisles every day, every Sunday, run like 40 or 50 buses. God's blessing, he's in home. He's at home, he's in heaven today. When I got word of it, I thought, man, another person's left, another good person. Bible tells us in Ezekiel, prophet said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I found none. We got good people from the generation before us. They're going to heaven, one right after the other now. I mean, it's happening before our eyes. Somebody's got to stand in the gap. How about Don and Janet Cook? They sit right there every Sunday morning. Who's going to take their place? How about Janet singing in the choir right there? Say, oh, I can sing. I got a good voice. Yeah, you're not in choir. Who's going to take her place right there? Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to make up the hedge? You say, I'm real busy. I know. I know. Don't be too busy for God. Man, they were early to every service. They missed nothing. They're going to be missed at Camp Canaan Land this summer. Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to make up the hedge? Our Whosoever Will class, the soul winning class, I can't believe the numbers of people were saved in this last week. I'm not including funeral services. I'm not including preaching services. We're talking about one-on-one winning people to Christ. That's exciting. If we could get everybody winning souls to Christ this winter, what a step. What you talk about advance the gospel. Some of them are going to get baptized. Some of them are going to come to church. Some of them are going to grow in grace. And they too will be soul winners. You got to get at it. The fields are white unto harvest.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.